Thank you, Caleb, for a job well done. At the very leading beginning edge of his teen years, the lad is still 12 years old. I think he did a marvelous job today. Very, very nice job, Caleb. Thank you for your effort and for your presentation to our God. Well, welcome, fellow brethren of the Lansing Church, and all of you guests here today. You get to see our new digs. Just so you have something to look forward to next winter when we have the snow back again. We've had some suggestions from some of the older people in the church, not me, but some of the older people in the church. We're going to have some snowboard time trials from up here at the entrance down to the parking lot. So if you're interested in trying out for that and seeing how well you can do, seeing how well God will bless you on the Sabbath. Anyway. Mr. Joseph has asked me if I would coordinate the music efforts here in the Lansing Church, and I told him I'd be very pleased to do so. So I'll be coordinating the special music, and we'll see if we can't organize a vocal group, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But in line with this subject, today I'm going to talk about hymns and special music in the church. Hymns and special music in the church. Music has always been a very important part of the disciples' worship of God. In fact, even before man was created, God was praised with the singing of music. You don't have to turn here. I think most of you are familiar with it. But Job 38, verse 4, we have the Lord speaking here. Excuse me. We have the Lord speaking here. And he was speaking to Job when Job was in a bad attitude. God finally had had enough of it and started to talk to Job a little bit about, where were you when I did some of these big things? And the Lord said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." Moving to verse 7 to get right to our point. When the morning stars, the angels sang together, and all of the sons of God shouted for joy at seeing the earth at its creation and the fantastically beautiful place that it was. They just couldn't help. It was a spontaneous singing and shouting for joy at what they had seen. So that is the first record of people singing praises to God when the earth was created. The angels were so excited at the beauty and majesty of what they had seen, they couldn't help but spontaneously sing praises to God. Regarding the very beginning of every physical thing that was created on the earth, the fifth thing that that the Lord chose to talk to Job about when he gave this dissertation to him in the creating of the earth, the fifth thing that he chose to talk about was music. And the fact that the angels shouted for joy and the sons of God shouted for joy when they saw such a beautiful thing. Now, the Lord could have told us the details of about a great many other things, such as the complex planning that was involved, or the incredible physics and the complex coordination of the various physical laws that had to be put in place involving the sun and the moon, so conditions on the earth would be just right for man. I mean, that was a big deal, right? God could have wowed us with an overview of the interdependence of the atmosphere with its incredibly complex climate system and how the air, vegetation, water, animals, insects, birds, and soils all had to be interwoven in an incredibly complex interdependent system that would allow man to survive on the earth. I mean, God had a lot of things he could have said, but he chose not to talk about any of those things or about the long, long list of other things that most of us would feel were way more important than music. But nope. Instead, he chose to talk about the angels singing and shouting for joy at the beauty of what they had seen when they had saw it all for the first time. In the face of that reality, do you think that music is important to God? And that he, no doubt, very much enjoys it. Do you think that that's true? Turn to Exodus 15:1. Exodus 15:1. I've always thought that Moses was a very dynamic individual, and as both and both physically and spiritually a very powerful man. And I'm sure he was all of those things. However, none of the commentaries that I have ever read about him address the fact that he did some surprisingly interesting things with music. Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord. Notice who they sang it to. They sang this song to the Lord. Keep that on your front of your mind. We're going to talk about that a lot today. Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has thrown into the sea. Notice that Moses sang. Also notice who they sang to. They sang not to each other. They sang to God. They sang to the Lord. Obviously, this song was about God opening the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross it, and then closing the sea so that the waters would destroy Pharaoh's army. Here's another musical surprise about Moses. Turn to Deuteronomy 31:32. Deuteronomy 31:32, another musical surprise involving Moses. Deuteronomy 31:32. Therefore, Moses wrote this song. The guy was a composer. Moses wrote this song the same day, and he taught it to the children of Israel. He was a composer and a choir director. He wrote this song, and then he taught it to the children of Israel, and they sang it when he was instructed to do so by God. Moses also composed and wrote music. Turn to Matthew 26, verse 30. Matthew 26, verse 30. During Jesus Christ's physical life here on the earth, he no doubt attended a great many worship services. When songs of praise were offered, he would likely have participated. In fact, at his last celebration of the Passover, which we're looking at coming up here very soon, when he instituted the ceremonies of the water and the wine and the foot washing, he ended the formal evening ceremony with singing. He ended the ceremony, he ended the church service with singing. Matthew 26:30. And when they, including Jesus Christ, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So it's really clear here that Jesus Christ himself was personally involved in singing and thought it important enough to celebrate that significant Passover service with a song. And that service was a very meaningful and emotional service at the close of this revolutionary Passover for the church. Very important service, and that's how he closed the service. How much does God love and value and enjoy music that is used to worship him? Here's a few figures for you. In the Bible, the word spiritual is used 28 times. The word baptized and baptized are used 70 times. The word song, songs, sing, singing, sang, sung are used 241 times. 241 times. Way more than some of these other very important words. These words do not include the number of times that instrumental music was referenced in the Bible, only vocal music. The word Sabbath and Sabbaths are used a total of 271 times. Singing is used 241 times. That's running a pretty good race. In other words, the words associated with singing music are used 89% as much as the words Sabbath and Sabbaths. Turn to Psalm 66, verse 1. 66, verse 1. The point of all this is that music is not a minor part of the Bible. It is a significant part of what the Scriptures have to say about how we are to honor and worship our God. Two key questions for you. Two key questions, very critical questions and important questions for us. When we sing to worship, when we sing in our worship to God, who do we sing to? Who do we sing to? Question two, what do we say? What do we sing about? Who do we sing to and what do we sing about? Let's begin with God's instructions to David about music used to worship him. Psalm 66, verse 1. To the chief musician, a song, a psalm. What is a psalm? According to Smith's Bible Dictionary, a psalm is a short song which is biblically based. A short song which is biblically based. So it's a Christian song, without a doubt. Make a joyful noise, says the make a joyful shout, says the scripture. A joyful sound, if you will, to God. And one thing I forgot to mention here, make a joyful sound to God, all the earth. Note that the song is sung to God. Make a joyful shout to who? To God. The song is sung to God, not to the congregation, not to each other. And what do they sing about? Verse 2. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. We are to sing about God and about the marvelous, unmatchable, unreachable pinnacle of honor that his name represents. The one and only one. The one and only God. And what else should we sing about? Verse 3. Say to who? What are the next two words? Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to who? To God. They shall sing praises to your name. Why use the word your? Because he's singing to God. He's singing to God. So if I were to say, that was a nice thing that you made, I'd be saying you because I'm talking to you. They're saying, because they're talking to God, they shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Here again, the focus of the musical subject are things about God, things that he has done, the greatness of his power, even his enemies submit to him. The time shall indeed come when all the earth shall worship him and sing out honor and praises to his name. Turn to Psalms 88, verse 5. Psalms 88, verse 5. Regarding the word Selah, while you're turning to Psalms 88, verse 5, Selah is used at the end of verse 4 that we've just gone through. According to Smith's Bible Dictionary, Selah, is only found in the book of Psalms and the book of Habakkuk. Neither scripture nor secular history give any indication as to the meaning of the word Selah. Some experts, whoever they are, feel that it may indicate that a break occurs in the singing where only the musical instruments play. But again, I want to emphasize that's a guess on the part of some experts. We really don't know what the word means for sure. Psalms 88, verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doings toward the sons of men. He turns the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. O bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. And the litany of the praises about God and what he has done for his people continues throughout the Bible. What else do we sing about? These scriptures tell us that we sing about the wonder, the power, the majesty, the love, and kindness of God, and especially of the many physical and spiritual blessings that he has given to us, and will give to us, both collectively and individually, personally. In reading Psalm 68 and Psalms 88, there are two things that we should come away with. Thing number one, the focus of the whole Sabbath day, especially the church service, is spiritual. The purpose and content of the music used during the worship service, both the hymns and the congregational singing, the congregational singing and the special music, should be about spiritual things related to our God, the awesomeness of who God is, as well as what He has done and what He will do to give every person that has ever lived and who will ever live their individual opportunity to become a member, a part of His family, a part of His kingdom. There are a great many scriptures besides the ones in Psalms 66 and 68 that clearly tell us that music related to the worship of our God is to be directed to our God, and not to the people in the congregation. The music is not directed at the congregation. It's directed to God. Special music is not a concert for the congregation. It is, again, directed to God on behalf of the congregation. A very few of the many scriptures that give us directional examples in this area are as follows. Don't try to turn to all these because I'm going to paraphrase them and go through them in relatively short order. God's people sing to Him for the following reasons. These are all scriptures in reference to why God's people sing to Him. Exodus 15:1. Israel was delivered from Pharaoh's army, so they sang to Him. 2 Samuel 22:50. They sang in honor of God's name. 1 Chronicles 16:9. They sang in honor of God's presence with them. 1 Chronicles 16:9. They sang in honor of in God's presence with them. Psalms 117, they sang because of His righteousness. Psalms 9:11, because of the things God had done for them. Psalms 13:19, because of all the blessings David had received, he sang to God in worship. Psalms 21:13, in praise to God's awesome power, they sang to Him. Psalms 57:7, because of the change in my heart, said King David, I sing this song to you in your honor. Psalms 95:1, go ahead and turn there. Psalms 95:1. Psalms 95:1. Psalms 95:1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with a psalm. Again, I'm going to paraphrase just a few additional scriptures regarding this. Luke 19:36 through 38. Luke, and these are New Testament scriptures, obviously. Luke 19:36 through 38, the crowd sang praises to Jesus as He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Acts 15:3, Paul and Silas sang in prison to God because they were able to powerfully do God's work even in prison. Revelation 15:3, they sang because God's ways are true and just. Note that they all sang to God, about God, is what the singing was all about. I'm aware of two scriptures that I've heard used by some to justify that special music is performed to the congregation. Let's look at these scriptures. Ephesians 5:18, please turn there. Ephesians 5:18. I should tell you, too, that some of what I'm talking with you today about is the result of a sermon I heard on music by Mr. Brian Shaw, who is a minister in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ephesians 5:18. I'll break into the middle of the first sentence. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Usually they stop right here, but let's you and I continue on. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, this is being referenced to our God, not to the congregation. It's about the congregation, but it's addressed to our God. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Usually it stops right here, or they just kind of read over the rest and ignore it. But let's finish the whole thought. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These scriptures are directed to our God, not to the congregation. The last one is about the congregation, but it's not directed to the congregation. When hymns are sung in services and special music is performed, although such music can and should help us to enter into a spiritual frame of mind that is befitting the worship of our God, these things are not the principal reason for the music. Nor should they be. The number one principal reason of singing hymns and the performance of special music at services is to worship our God. Turn to Exodus 3, verse 4. We need to enter into the singing of the hymns and the performing of and the listening of special music with this reason as the principal goal in our mind, the worship of our God. We should be recognizing and honoring the magnificent, holy, and powerful glory that our God is. And we should be thanking Him for everything that He has done and for all that He will do for each of us and for all mankind. So what's so special about special music? We call it special music in God's church. It's not called this in any other type of denomination I know. Why do we call it special music? The following is an example in regard to how something becomes holy. Exodus 3, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that the Lord here is speaking to somebody, he's speaking to Moses. So when the Lord saw that Moses, turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, the burning bush. And he said to Moses, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." "Here I am." Then God said, "Do not draw near this place." Listen carefully to what God said. "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." God said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Three things you should grasp in this exchange. Item number one, turn to 1 Corinthians 2:11 while you're at it. 1 Corinthians 2:11. What made the ground holy? Item number one, what made the ground holy? The Lord was present there. He is holy. And only God can make something holy. No man has that power. That ground was holy because God's presence was there. Item number two to remember about this burning bush exchange. Notice that Moses was not aware that the ground was holy until God told him that it was holy. He didn't know, not until God revealed it to him. Spiritual things cannot be discerned by physical men. Spiritual things must be revealed to a man by God. And holiness is indeed a spiritual entity. Why did Moses not understand of his own thought process? 1 Corinthians 2:11 gives us the answer. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? So even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Such a thing is holiness. Such a thing is special music. With that background on how things become holy, turn to Genesis 2, verse 3. The crux of everything I'm telling you today. Genesis 2, verse 3. You know the scripture, but it's an important one, and you should be looking at this one. Genesis 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. He blessed it, and he sanctified it. He made the seventh day holy because he rested from all of the creative work that he had done on the previous 6 days. God did not bless any of the previous 6 days. He didn't curse them, but he didn't bless them. He only made the seventh day, the Sabbath day, holy. Why doesn't carnal man understand the Sabbath? Because 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11 tells us that he cannot understand it. Why is special music holy, especially on the Sabbath day? Because it is a critical required part of the disciples' worship of their God. On the only day of the week that our God specifically made holy for that specific purpose. Because the congregational hymns and special music are an intricate and important part of God's worship service, they too are holy. Right along with the sermonette, the sermon, the nature and context of our fellowship with God's disciples, his holy disciples, on the Sabbath day. It's all holy. On the Sabbath day, all of this background context is important to have on the very tip of our minds as we attend God's church service and really as we celebrate the rest of the Sabbath. It is holy time, and everything that we do on the Sabbath day should be done with that context in mind, with a special focus and emphasis on the celebration of God's holy service of worship of him and our fellowship with his sanctified holy disciples. Now, is it possible to have a holy and sacred experience with God on the other 6 days of the week? Absolutely. No question about it. With the correct spiritual attitude and mindset, you can sincerely pray to God and talk to him anytime you want to, all week long, and you should. You should even sing praises. You could even sing praises to him with an attitude of sincere worship as David did, and it's going to be a holy experience and a sanctified experience. Now, doing these things will truly be a sacred and holy experience for you if you're doing it out in the world. But they will be pretty carnal stuff for those who may overhear you because they ain't got a clue what's going on. Recognize that God expects us to live our lives as he has taught us to, all week long, from Sunday through Friday, sunset to sunset. You can have a wonderful, holy experience with God anytime you want to have one. The huge difference that exists between the Sabbath and Sunday through Friday is that on the Sabbath day, God requires you to do this. You don't have to do it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so on. On the Sabbath day, God requires you to worship him and honor him for the complete Sabbath day. The third thing about holiness to remember in regard to Moses and the burning bush is this. Moses did not know how to behave on holy ground, did he? He didn't know to take his sandals off. He didn't know what to do on holy ground until God told him to take off his sandals because you're on holy ground. Although most of us have had God's Holy Spirit, we do not know how to view music that is performed in God's church service until he reveals it to us, because it's sacred and holy. Our mind would quite logically conclude that the special music is being performed for us. After all, the performer is facing us, and he's singing or performing at us, just as if we were at the concert hall in the Wharton Center. That certainly is the way I felt until somebody explained these scriptures to me and I understood the difference between my carnal musical experience and what a true spiritual musical experience is. So what does this have to do with special music? Why don't we clap for special music on the Sabbath or on the feast days? Because special music is not performed for us. That is not who the music is directed to. As we have seen in the many scriptures we have already reviewed, and that's why I went through so many of these, I wanted to overwhelm you with the amount of evidence in the Bible that the music is not directed at the congregation. It's not directed at you. As we have seen by the scriptures we've already been viewed about special music at church services, the music is performed as a part of God's holy worship service. It is being performed directly to God and specifically for God on behalf of the congregation of disciples. That's why we don't clap. Clapping for the performer distorts the primary focus and purpose of special music. To do that would change it from a spiritual music experience to just another secular musical performance giving honor and thanks to the performer. Clearly, that moves the focus off of our God and to the performer on God's sacred holy day. That is not an appropriate context for God's sacred holy church service, which is intended for the worship of Him. That mindset should be the attitude of the performers when they are preparing for and for the performer when they perform special music. It should also be the attitude of the congregation when they hear the special music at church. Additionally, the congregation should have the same mindset in place when they sing the hymns to our God in His church service. We are actually singing to and for God in these hymns. That's pretty serious business when you stop to think about it. That should be the case because without exception, God directs that it be that way. Psalms 92 verse 1. Please turn there. Psalms 92 verse 1. A song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on a lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in your works, in the works of your hand. And why are you and you used so often in this scripture? Because it's directed. The song is being sung directly and focused directly on our God. The conversation is directly with God. Psalm 81, verse 1. Psalm 81, verse 1. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath. The psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise the song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. Feast day. The feast is included in here. Clearly, all of the above things that we have just reviewed about music on the Sabbath are also a part of our worship mindset and behavior on God's 7 annual feast days. The focus must be on the worship of God. That is the principal goal. The overall purpose as to why we have a church service in the first place. The focus is on God. That purpose applies to the sermonette, the sermon, the hymns, the hymns that the congregation sings, and to the special music, and especially to our fellowship at church. It is all to be done with the principal purpose of worshiping and honoring our God during the most holy and sacred day, a Sabbath day, and a feast day. Note that Psalm 66, verse 1 and 2, which we have just read, says, make a joyful shout to God. Sing a joyful shout to God. Sing out the honor of His name. The honor of His name. The song is not directed to the congregation. It is directed to our Lord, our God. Music in the church is not a concert, as I mentioned before. It is not an entertainment break in the middle of services. It is not a concert, if you will, for the musical enjoyment of the listeners. At God's church service, we are not an audience. We are a sacred and holy congregation of God's people focused on worshiping our God, The music is being performed for and to our God. When hymns and special music are performed in a church service to God, the attitude of the performers and the congregation should be that it is an offering to God by the musicians on behalf of the congregation, all of whom are sincerely striving to become like Jesus Christ and to serve their God with all of their heart. That is the proper mindset for music to be used in God's church. No matter how technically well a musical selection may be performed, unless the performers and the congregation have the right attitude, the music performed is not sacred. It is not holy. It is not special music. That is the case whether it is a congregational hymn or special music. To be sacred, our attitude must be right. Otherwise, it's just so much music. It ceases to be special if the attitude of the people are not in spiritual harmony with God's instructions regarding the music for the worship service. A person can perform a certain song for a church service that is very appropriate for a church service in the midst of the congregation of sincerely dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ, and it will truly be special music. The same person can perform the same exact song equally well at a concert hall filled with unconverted people, and it will not be special music. It will not be special holy music. A church of God could hire a non-converted, incredibly talented musician to perform a very difficult and beautiful Christian song for a church service, and God would not accept it to be special music. In fact, if the people actually knew better, it would be a profane thing to him. The hymns and special music on the Sabbath or on a feast day, if our attitude is correct, are every bit as much a spiritual part of the church service as the sermonette and the sermon. The purpose of the music in God's church service is to be a most sincere, spiritual, heartfelt rejoicing to our God for everything that He is, for what He has done, and for what He is doing now, and for what He will do in the future for all mankind and for you and I personally. With the background that I've just gone through, as I mentioned before, Mr. Joseph has asked me to organize and coordinate the music here in the Lansing Church. Toward that end, I'd like to see us be able to do very, very good music for special music at church. How much special music we're going to be able to have is going to depend on what kind of support we're able to get here from the congregation. And once I find that out, we'll start to see what we can put together in terms of how often we can have special music and the kind of music that we can have. That's key to our see where we can go here. I've heard a number of complaints at feast sites where I've directed choirs over the last couple of years where people say, can't you do anything else besides have the choir sing and somebody else sing a vocal solo? So I've tried at the feast to focus on more instrumental music, more group singing, and to give some variety of the types of things that we are presenting. If some of you play instruments, of whatever kind—banjos, harmonicas, pianos—I've heard a whistler at a feast site. I mean, if you know people that have talent out there, if you have talent out there that can provide some variety to the special music, that's very important. I'd also like to see some groups perform, some duets, trios, small groups, maybe even instrumental groups. And I'd be very happy to work with you to coordinate that and to help you, do those type of things. As far as I'd like to have an ensemble here in the Lansing Church. When I lead hymns up here, I know we've got some good voices out there. I know that we've got some good voices out there. I think the talent is here. The question is whether, you're all busy people too, and that's a part of real life that we all have to come to grips with. You can't always do everything you want to do. But if we're going to be able to do anything with a small group, we're going to need some pretty good support here from you folks that do have musical talent here. My goal, especially with the ensemble, is to do very high-quality music and not kill you doing it. And here's my strategy. I'll keep the music very simple. We won't sing all that often, but when we do sing, it'll be simple music, and I don't want to have to practice more than once a month, and then before every time we perform, we'll tune the number up. But I think we can do a very good quality job if I keep the music simple, you know, and I think we can do a very high quality job if I can get some support, if we can get some support here in the local congregation. We don't have a very big congregation, as you know. If you have musical talent, we're going to miss you if you can't participate. Is it a sin not to participate? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. But, you know, we certainly, in a congregation of this size, if you have musical talent and especially can read music, we certainly going to very much, you know, need you if you can see your way clear to do it. Also, for people that, there are plenty of good musicians out there that don't read music. Plenty of really great musicians out there, professional musicians that don't read music. Just because you don't read music doesn't mean that you can't participate in this. But then that's, again, where people who can read music even help out, because by you knowing the part faster, you help those that don't read music to learn their music. So those that read music are really, really helpful to those that don't. There are people out here, I'm sure, that have a good voice, and you know you have a good voice, but you've just never used it. And I just want you to know that if you've never sung before, I can help you. And I'm willing to listen to you one-on-one just to make sure that, you know, if you have some personal qualms about don't wanting to be embarrassed and all that stuff, come on and see me, and I'll be very, very pleased to listen to you. And I'll tell you the truth. If you can sing, the requirement that we can't get around is you have to be able to sing on pitch. You have to, you know, you're going to have some trouble learning the song, but you have to be able to sing on pitch to be able to do special music in a group or even solos. So that is critical. So anyway, I think I'm going to let things go at this point, and I'm going to say that after the final song, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee and come right back here. And if you have questions or if you're interested in supporting the music program here in the Lansing Church, I'm looking forward to seeing you.